The Bible is the inspired Word of God, revealing the mind of God to the world. Through our diligent study and examination of its teachings, we will learn all of the things God requires of us in order to receive His blessings. We invite you now to take your Bible and study along with our speaker, Kevin Beard, as Churches of Christ present Bible Talk.
Many people in our world today are practically addicted to physical exercise and physical health and those sorts of things. Obsessed with it, perhaps, is more the word I was looking for there. But you think about all of the kinds of things that we hear from time to time about all of these different subjects. You hear stories on the news about different things that doctors have found are helpful for our health and beneficial to us and so on. But then on the other side of the same coin, we see that there are many things that are harmful to us and dangerous to our health that we need to stay away from. And there are a lot of people that are very, very concerned about all of these kinds of things. And they spend a lot of time, a lot of money, and devote a lot of their lives to doing the kinds of things that the experts tell them they ought to do to maintain the best physical health that they can. We see in many places that businesses that cater to these kinds of things are very successful. Things like health clubs and gyms and diet centers and those sorts of things make lots of money in our country today because people are very concerned about their physical health and their physical appearance. And as we think about that, in relation to the Christian's outlook on life, we need to understand that those kinds of things are not harmful. There's nothing sinful about being concerned about your physical health and your physical appearance and so on. And even the idea of exercise as we turn to the Word of God is something that we see that God emphasizes for us. We know that the culture, the Greek culture of the first century, the time in which the New Testament was written, that there was a great emphasis on physical things then, like there is today. The Greeks really worshipped the human body, I guess we could say. And we see their emphasis by having gymnasiums in their major cities, many of them, and so on, and the emphasis placed on the games that they played and those kinds of things. Well, it's no surprise that God would take that concept of exercise and use it to make a spiritual application for us as Christians. When Paul gave his instruction to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, he mentions this idea of exercise, and he uses it in a spiritual application, but also he makes an application in its regular sense, its physical sense as well. In 1 Timothy 4, 6 through 8, the Bible says, "If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. But reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." And so here we see that Paul tells Timothy to exercise. Well, we need to follow that same instruction as well. We need to be concerned with getting enough exercise. But now let's think about the kind of exercise that we ought to focus on. Notice in the first place that Paul does mention there physical exercise. He said there that bodily exercise profits a little. There is some profit to bodily exercise. But that exercise is limited to physical things. When you exercise your body, you're exercising and the things that you do will bring about a physical benefit for you. And that's what people are looking for, isn't it? Those who are so concerned about physical fitness and their health and exercising and staying in shape and eating properly and all of those kinds of things, I would imagine that most all of them have one thing in common at least, and that is that they want to live longer. Now, health experts tell us that if we will get enough exercise and eat right and do the kinds of things they say are good for our bodies, that we will live longer. People want to live longer. People don't like to think about dying. People want to live as long as they can. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying there's anything harmful about that attitude or sinful about that attitude at all. But one thing that we need to watch out for is the reason why we want to live as long as we can. If we want to live as long as we can just for physical pleasure, then that's a problem. And that is tied into the reason behind a lot of people and their emphasis on physical fitness, exercising their bodies. You see, they want to be able to enjoy the pleasures of life as long as they can. Here again, nothing wrong with enjoying the good pleasures of life. But if our emphasis is only on those things, that's a point of concern. That's something that we need to guard against, that is becoming so wrapped up in the things of this life and the pleasures of this world that we lose track of what is truly important with the spiritual things that God has prepared. You see, Christians need to have a proper outlook on the body. Yes, we can live life and enjoy the things of this world, and there are physical pleasures that God has designed for our enjoyment too. But when we look at the physical body, we need to understand a couple of points. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul talked about the sin of fornication. That is, the sin of having sexual relationships outside of marriage. And he talked about the nature of that sin being uniquely tied to the body. And as he drew his discussion to a close, he made this point in verses 19 and 20 of 1 Corinthians 6. He said, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." God owns your body, Paul says. And therefore, when you use your body to commit sins like fornication, it is especially sinful against God, since God is the one who really owns your body. Now, since my body belongs to God, then I need to take the proper view of my body and what I do with it and realize that everything I do with my body, I must do to glorify and please God. Now, those in Corinth who were arguing in favor of committing fornication without any feelings of guilt had some improper reasoning that they were trying to use to establish their case. And they were basically saying, well, here's all these things that we can do with our bodies, and they're perfectly legal for us to do, perfectly lawful for us to do. And they tried to draw a comparison between fulfilling the physical drive of hunger by eating with fulfilling the physical drive of sexuality by committing fornication. Foods for the stomach and the stomach for foods, they said. That's the way God designed the body. And we fulfill those drives and urges we have by doing what God designed us to do. And therefore, if we do the same thing that follow the same principle that we do with eating and our physical hunger, then use that with fulfilling a sexual drive, then we should see no sin in that. Well, Paul said your reasoning is flawed. And there in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 12, he said, "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful." Even if what you're talking about were lawful, of all the things that we may do, all of the lawful things that God allows us to do, not even all of them are helpful. Not beneficial for us in our lives of service to God. And so we have to examine what we do and say, is this thing helpful? It's not enough just to say, well, God hasn't condemned it, therefore it must be okay for me to do. Well, it might be, but then again, it might not. Is it helpful? Is it going to encourage you and strengthen you and help you in your walk with God, in your being the right kind of example to others and so on? So, not all things are lawful, but not all things are not helpful, he says. And the second part that he points out is, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. You see, I might look at something and say, you know, I can do this because God has not condemned it. But is that the type of thing that will potentially take control of me? As a Christian, I have a responsibility to maintain control of my body. I'm not to allow my body to get control of me. When I do that, I have things out of order, and I'm not glorifying God with my body. Now, what does that say about the kinds of habits that we develop? Things like using certain chemicals. Somebody might say, well, the Bible doesn't condemn smoking. The Bible doesn't condemn using smokeless tobacco. Well, I can't find any verse in the Bible that condemns it in so many words. But what about that idea that Paul just expressed? All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. How many people have you known of who have said, you know, I can quit smoking anytime I wanted to? And they say that right up to the time they really start trying to quit, and they find out it's not as easy to quit as they thought. You see, that nicotine and that tobacco, whether they smoke it or whether they chew it or whether they dip it, it doesn't matter. That nicotine gets a hold on them. And whether it's nicotine, whether it's alcohol, whether it's a prescription drug, whether it's an illegal drug or whatever it may be, when we start talking about addictive things, we're talking about the body having control over me. And Paul says, I'm not going to let that happen. That is not bringing glory to God. This body belongs to God. And therefore, I must use it as God's servant, as God's steward. When we think about those kinds of things, we need to make sure we stay as far away from any kind of activity that can be addictive and that can take control of us, that can become so compelling to us, compulsory to us, that we feel like we cannot do without it. It now has control over us. It might be using some chemical, it might be some activity you engage in, it might be any number of things. But we cannot allow the body to control us. We must control the body. And so as we think about physical exercise profiting in physical things, let's look at our bodies from a spiritual standpoint. Let's have the attitude toward our bodies as recognizing that they are the temple of the Holy Spirit that Paul described there, that this body belongs to God, and realize that God has put us on this earth. And it is in this life on earth that we have our time of preparation, we have our time of trial, in which we prove ourselves to God by living faithfully. But we have to do that in this body that we have. Now, if I let my body become so out of shape, if I let myself go, if I let myself get in such a terrible physical condition that I begin to have health problems that really hinder me and hinder my actions, what am I doing about my potential service to God with that? You see, I have this lifetime to serve God. Am I facilitating my service to God by exercising, by eating right, by taking care of my body, so that I can be more healthy, more active for a longer time to bring more glory to God for as long as He sees fit to give me time here on earth? See, I think that's one thing that we ought to take into consideration. Bodily exercise profits a little. It profits in physical things. But as we go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4, we see that Paul makes the contrast here, and he says, whereas bodily exercise profits a little in some things, he says, godliness is profitable for all things. And so, as we see there that Paul told Timothy to exercise himself toward godliness, then we see here is what we really need to be emphasizing. Nothing wrong with being concerned about physical exercise and physical health and so on. In fact, there can even be some spiritual benefit to that as we think about improving and increasing our ability to serve God while we live here on earth. But the good and the benefit that come from those kinds of things is limited. but the kind of exercise we engage in that brings out godliness is profitable in all things, Paul says. It's profitable in all things. Godliness. What does it mean to be godly? I've said before, and I guess the simplest definition that I could give of the word godly is to be like God. To be like God. And as we think about being like God, we have to understand that this quality comes about as a result of a conscious decision. A lot of people want to focus on the emotions of religion. Well, emotion is an important aspect of religion, but it's not the foundation of it. It's a byproduct of it. When my relationship with God is what it ought to be, and when I'm godly and in that holy relationship and covenant with God, then those emotions will come as a result of that. But those emotions don't serve as the foundation. It's that relationship that comes through His Word that serves as the foundation. Godliness, you see, is what we're striving for. And as we think about godliness, there's two things we ought to consider. Number one, to be godly requires us to have a healthy reverence and respect for God. After all, He's my standard. He's the one I'm trying to be like. I'm trying to conform my life so that I can be more and more like Him. It requires a deep, abiding reverence and respect for God. But in the second place, it requires submission to His will. Because God has not left it up to me to decide for myself what it means to be godly. He has said, here's what I want you to do. Now, as I respect Him and have that reverence for God, that's going to lead me to say, okay, whatever God says is right. Whatever He says is good, and therefore, that's what I'm going to do. And so, Paul told Timothy to exercise himself toward godliness. The force of the way Paul worded that, maybe it doesn't really come through in the English language, but it's there in the original words that Paul used in the Greek language. Keep on exercising yourself toward godliness. It's a constant struggle that we engage in on a daily basis. You think about physical exercise. Can I get any benefit from physical exercise if I just go out and one day exercise and then that's it? Well, no. That doesn't have any lasting benefit. What if I exercise a couple of days this week and then I wait a couple of months? And then I exercise a day or two, and then I put it off another 3 or 4 months. And then I exercise another day or two or three. No, it doesn't work that way. We know physical exercise requires a constant effort, a sustained, consistent effort. And so it is with exercise toward godliness as well. So how do we exercise toward godliness? Now, if you want to strengthen your body, you know, there are different physical exercises that you can do. You look at athletes, football players. If you watch a football team working out, they're going to engage in a certain number of exercises and drills that are specifically designed to strengthen them and to train them with playing football in mind. But then if you went from a football team's practice over to watch a baseball team practice, you wouldn't expect them to see the baseball team doing the same kinds of exercises the football team was doing. They might have some that are similar and some that are even the same, but there are going to be many that are specific that one does but not the other, because certain exercises are to bring about a certain specific result. That's the way they're designed. When we think about exercising ourselves toward godliness, there's a number of specific things that we need to do. One is prayer. If you want to exercise yourself to godliness, part of that exercise is prayer. You cannot draw near to God and hope to be like God if you don't spend time with God in prayer. In 1 Timothy 2, Paul said, therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. At many places, Paul talks about prayer and the importance of it. If you want to be godly, you're going to have to do like Jesus did and set aside time to go off and be by yourself to pray. Prayer is one. Walking is another. You know, they tell you that walking is a very good exercise for the body. Well, walking is a good exercise for the spirit as well, as we think about striving toward godliness. But it's not physical walking. It's a walk in holiness. A walk in unity. A walk in purity. For example, Ephesians 4, verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. Walk worthy of the calling with which you've been called. You see, we have to live a life that demonstrates the kinds of things that we say we accept and we believe. So prayer and walking that holy walk, study is another. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's the King James rendition of 1 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Study. The word study there means to give diligence, to put forth stringent effort toward something. And this goes hand in hand with that idea of exercise, doesn't it? Because real bodily exercise that's going to do real good for you is something you have to exert yourself to do. So it is with the spiritual exercise toward godliness. We have to exert ourselves. We have to put forth effort and energy. Exercising ourselves toward godliness also involves self-control. Prayer, walking that holy walk, studying God's Word, self-control. And Paul discusses this importance of self-control. He said, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Notice the self-control that's implied in that. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. Timothy, you continue in these things. You devote yourself. You discipline yourself in all of these things that you've learned and that you're teaching to others. And so this exercise toward godliness. Now, Paul said it benefits in all things. We can look at physical exercise and we can see the physical benefit that it has. But he pointed out to Timothy that this exercise toward godliness has a benefit for the promise of the life that now is. You see, you can have great benefit in the life that you're living now if you will exercise yourself toward godliness. You see, Jesus promised us that His purpose in coming to this world was that so that we might have life. We know the Bible describes our spiritual condition when we're lost as being spiritually dead. Life comes through Jesus Christ. But Jesus said, I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He wants you to have an abundant life now. A life that's filled with blessing. A life that's filled with joy, that's filled with peace. A confident life. You see, there are so many blessings to living the Christian life. And as we live for the Lord, as we exercise ourselves toward godliness, these marvelous spiritual blessings just continue to build and multiply in our lives. And it really does become clear that the Christian life is the best life that any person can live. You see, being a faithful child of God makes you a better friend. It makes you a better worker. It makes you a better husband, a better father, a better mother, a better wife. It just improves every good relationship in your life. This exercise toward godliness will benefit you now. But of course, it also will benefit you in the life to come. You see, the life we are living now on this earth is temporary. The Lord has promised that this world is coming to an end, and our time here is limited. We're going to live a life of a certain number of years. We have no promise of any particular length of time. That time may come to an end shortly, or we may live a long time. But regardless of the number of years, that time is temporary. We're looking forward to something coming beyond this life. We're looking forward to something better. And this exercising toward godliness is striving for that eternal life that God has promised us. An eternal life where we will no longer be afflicted by the things that are a part of this world. things like sickness and disease, things like the sorrow and the mourning that comes as a result of living here in this life with all of its struggles and trials and hardships. The life, or rather the exercise toward godliness, is helping us to lay hold on eternal life. We can have it. Jesus has secured it for us. God has promised it to us. And He's shown us how to achieve it. That eternal life is there waiting for us. If we can exercise ourselves toward godliness, living that life that shows that we are in service to the Lord, that shows our great reverence and respect for Him, that demonstrates a life of submission to His will, then we can be confident in the hopes of standing before Him in judgment one day to hear Him say, "Well done." Life here on earth is brief. James compares it to a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. We don't know how long we have. It's brief, no matter how many years there may be, and it's uncertain. Really, every one of us could face death at any time. There are so many different ways that we might leave this life. And while it may not be pleasant to think about, realistically speaking, every one of us is living a very uncertain life. God has promised us something better, though. He's promised us a home in heaven. And Jesus died and shed His blood to pay the price that was necessary for us to have that hope of heaven. What about you? Are you exercising? Physical exercise is good in many ways. It can even be beneficial for us in our service to the Lord by helping us to live a fuller, more active life in which we can use our bodies to serve and glorify God. But are you exercising toward godliness? That's really the most important thing. Are you striving to be like God? Are you engaged in those kinds of things that are going to help you to put away the practice of sin and to stay in the grace of God, to be like Him, to influence as many in your life as you can, to be right with Him too? Jesus showed us the way. The Bible reveals to us all that we need to know. It's my hope and prayer that you will exercise yourself toward godliness.